I think kids catch more things than they hear. You know, they always say, well, I saw you do it. I mean, you can say whatever you want, but you know, a lot of parents become hypocrites really easily. So for me, it was really the hard work in being able to do the things that I wanted to see in my kids. And that was the tough part of parenting.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Change Toothpaste. I've used Change Toothpaste for a few weeks now, and I'm a fan for many reasons. One is that I've said on my podcast and website that we need to leave this world in a better place for our children and future generations. Change Toothpaste shares that notion, as their toothpaste comes in a tablet form in a compostable pouch and are sent in a 100% recyclable mailer made from recycled newspaper. So all of their packaging can be recycled. Speaking of waste, we all know how hard it is to get toothpaste out of the tube, and obviously you can never get back in the tube, right? Kids and adults can make a mess using that toothpaste tube. Change Toothpaste changes all of that. All you need to do is put a tablet in your mouth, chew it, and start using a wet toothbrush. And another reason why I love Change Toothpaste is because it's easy to travel with. I recently traveled to New York to visit some friends to have a guy's weekend, and I packed Change Toothpaste tablets, and it was much easier. Change Toothpaste comes in three great flavors, spearmint, cinnamon, and bubblegum. All the flavors are not overwhelming, but they give you enough flavor to keep your teeth and mouth smelling fresh. Plus, Change Toothpaste is free of gluten, dairy, nuts, or soy. So anybody having those allergies, you do not need to worry. There are no harsh chemicals, and their product is vegan. So let's take a look at all the benefits. A lot less waste than traditional toothpaste containers, tastes great, and there are no harsh chemicals, and it's easy to travel with when you're on the go. If you want to leave this world in a better place, for our kids and future generations, we need to support companies like Change Toothpaste. They're looking to do their part to keep this world going in the right direction, and now it is up to us as parents to do our part. Make a positive change with Change Toothpaste. Go to changetoothpaste.com for more information and place your order today. Also, when you place your order, make sure you use the discount code Art of Fatherhood to get additional 15% off your order at checkout. What's going on, everybody? Art Eddie here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast, and I'm happy to have the one and only Mike Singletary. Of course, part of the Monsters of the Midway. We're going to be talking about fatherhood. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of other great things. Thank you for this time, sir. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing very well.
Now, not only are you a great dad, but you are a great grandfather. If people follow you on social media, they see that you're all in it, man. So this is the type of guy I want on my show talking about their fatherhood journey. But when you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
You know what? It was just the opportunity to really share all the things that I had learned from my parents and coaches and things like that. So really excited about the opportunity to be able to pass on something that I could have my hands on and really have a direct influence on.
Talk about some of the, talking about things you want to pass on to. So I mean, if people know your career and everything you do in your foundation, hard work and paying it forward, I'm guessing are values you're looking to instill into your kids and your grandkids. So talk about some of the other core values you're looking to instill, that you instilled into your kids as they were growing up and now with your grandkids.
I think more so than anything else, the most difficult thing for me to do as a father was to really emulate those things in my own life, rather than sitting down talking to my kids and telling them to do this and not to do that. I think the greatest thing that I could give my kids was the relationship with my wife, and everything that I wanted my sons to do when it comes to a woman, I try to exemplify that with my wife. Everything that I wanted my daughters to look for in a husband, I try to exemplify as a husband. And so I think kids catch more things than they hear. You know, they always say, well, I saw you do it. I mean, you can say whatever you want. But, you know, a lot of parents become hypocrites really easily. So for me, it was really the hard work in being able to do the things that I wanted to see in my kids. And that was the tough part of parenting.
No doubt, sir. Yeah, and that's they will call you out on certain things, whether it's the smallest thing.
Yes, like, they will.
No, like, wait, I thought we can't have dessert until the weekend. Why are you eating a cookie, Dad? All of those things, the major things, like, hey, I thought you said not to say that word, but you, like, all of those things, right? So I love it.
Talk about something that your kids have taught you either about yourself or about life that maybe you knew was there, but once the, you know, your kids came to the picture, they kind of taught you that life lesson or just certain things about yourself.
My kids really taught me resilience, just being able to go through things, deal with things, and come back and say, it's okay, Dad. It's going to be fine. It's all right. You know, I'm getting ready for this big speech and, you know, things I need to help them on, talk to them about this. And, you know, they just say, hey, it's okay. I'm good. But the thing that I did understand through that is because of the things that my wife and I were able to do, it gave them the wherewithal. It gave them that inner peace that they could deal with things, that they could handle things. Because I think when mom and dad are okay, kids are a lot more resilient. Kids are a lot more, they're a lot stronger. They can think better, all of those things, because they don't have to think about mom and dad getting along okay. Is mom, dad hit mom, or mom throwing things at dad, and are there tantrums in the house, or the things out of control? And I think as long as mom and dad are okay, then I think the kids are going to be okay.
100% agree. Yeah, you want, I think kids will excel if they're in a home environment where they feel loved. They don't have to question, like, what's going on with mom and dad? Or do they care about me? Am I pleasing to them? Am I doing things that they want? But, like, you know, words of affirmation, you know, acts of love, all of those things makes kids not worry about that. And they can focus on finding themselves and, you know, obviously learning at school and moving on to having their own career. So spot on, sir. One more question before we kind of talk about some other things. Could be a dad hack or a piece of advice for new dads listen to this, what would it be?
Well, you know what, one thing in talking to me, I'm going to be really, really redundant, and the thing I have new dads come to me all the time, Mike, I'm having a daughter, Mike, I'm having a son, you know, what do I do, how do I show them, I said, look, love the mom and really, really show the mom the love and the consistency, and talk to her in a loving way, and she's going to respond to you. And if you can do that, man, it gives the child a tremendous foundation. It helps them be able to really, really concentrate on the things that they really want to think about. It helps them become who they are, without having to think about, is this household stable? And am I safe in this environment? So I really think that is the key to any young man that I could talk to, and that's my number one thing. Love the mom.
Great piece of advice right there. Thank you very much for sharing that. Big fan of yours in the NFL, man. I lived in the Chicago area during, you know, the heyday of the Bears, especially when you were playing there. Talk about, though, first, before we kind of talk about the Bears and coaching and all that good stuff, because I want to get your, you know, your mindset on coaching and playing and all that good stuff. But what was the transition like from college to the NFL for you? What was, like, maybe, like, the biggest hurdle?
I think the biggest hurdle from college, I came from the Southwest Conference. And the Southwest Conference, you know, we had – University of Texas, Earl Campbell, you had SMU, Eric Dickerson, you had Curtis Dickey at A&M. And let me tell you, those boys were coming downhill. So for me, it was slobber knocks every week. I mean, you're hitting the wishbone and everything else. And you got to the NFL, and at that time it was 65% run and, 35 pass. And so being able to, in the Southwest Conference, you're talking about 90% run, 95% run. You know, most quarterbacks, they're running backs too. So it was, when I got to the NFL, now I'm playing a different game. I had to all of a sudden adjust, and we played a lot of man-to-man. So being able to get in that groove of covering running backs and covering tight ends than being able to cover a slot receiver if you had to on nickel. That was the adjustment. And so being good at the run and then having now to adjust to also become that guy that's good in the pass, that was the biggest adjustment for me.
Thank you very much for sharing that. And like I mentioned, 84, 85, man, I still have the 45 record of the Super Bowl shuffle, man. And so that like the 4-6 defense, you know, the Buddy Ryan defense, all that good stuff. You guys just dominated, you know, and all that. Talk about what you're most proud of. Of course, winning the Super Bowl, yes, but that season, what were you most proud of as you know, playing for the Chicago Bears, winning the Super Bowl, but just that team still gets talked about as the defense that like could be one of the best, if not the best defense of all time.
You know, the thing that I really appreciated about that team, you know, a lot of people talk about, man, you guys must have been amazing. You guys must have been tremendous athletes and, you know, just thoroughbreds on defense. And no, we were not. We were not the fastest team. We were not the biggest team. But I tell you what we were. We held each other accountable. And we got in each other's face when it wasn't happening the way that it needed to be. And but at the same time, we really stood for each other. We stood together. But to be in that huddle, you had to be a grown man to be in that huddle, because if you didn't do your job, you couldn't stay in that huddle. And to me, that was the biggest thing about our team. We hated to lose. And when you find a group of guys that really hate to lose, that's the kind of team that you want to be a part of.
Love it, man. And talk a little bit about the coaching as a head coach in the NFL. You did that, you know, from you were at a player's perspective and then a head coach. Which, and this may be a loaded question or a tough question, but like, which was tougher for you? Was it coaching or playing?
Coaching was a lot tougher. Coaching was a lot tougher because when I became the head coach, I'd been in the league 6 years, I guess. So, you know, as a head coach, you have to have weapons on the sideline. You know, when you're playing, it's easy. You know, you worked out, you know what the system is, you know what the defense is you're running. You go out there, you play, you do your job. You got this gap, I got that gap, I got that guy. When you're coaching, you've got to have the same tools. And if you don't have those tools, you don't possess those tools, then it makes you suspect. It makes you, it's a frustrating thing. And for me, I needed some more tools. And so when you don't have those tools at the time, it's a tough thing. So you have to make sure you have those tools. And I didn't have those tools my first time as head coach. I got them quick. But I didn't have them at that time.
Thank you very much for sharing that. And talk a little bit about, you know, with the locker room and all that, did you guys talk about when you were playing or maybe even now too, like when you were coaching as well, did fatherhood come up? Like, did you have the, I mean, obviously you got to be focused on the game. I get that. But when there was some downtime, did fatherhood, was that something that you guys would talk about, whether when you were a player or a coach, and maybe did players come up to you and maybe ask for fatherhood advice because they knew you were a dad?
As a player, no. You don't hear fatherhood questions unless you get a rookie comes in and maybe you're in your 10th year or something like that, and they look up to you. And, you know, maybe you have a guy who says, hey, how do I balance this out? But you'll hear it a lot more as a coach. When you're the coach, now you're going to have players come to you and say, hey, coach, how do I handle this? How do I balance my time? I'm trying to figure out how to start, how to be a better player, and how to be a husband, how to be a father. Man, it's just too much. It's too much stuff coming. And, you know, you sit down and you try and help young players navigate their way through it. And it's not an easy task.
Like, especially probably because all walks of life and different, like, experiences they had from their parents, right? So you're dealing with so many different variables, right?
Absolutely. You know, players are hearing so much information, not to even mention social media, the information that they get from there. But, you know, they've got friends, they've got teammates, they've got other coaches, they've got agents. They've got all kinds of information coming into them. And for them, it's a matter of how do I filter this information? How do I figure out what is right for me and my family? And that's a less a very, very difficult thing to do for players to be able to navigate their ways through that information.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. One more question before we finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. We mentioned earlier when we were talking about fatherhood and parenting about, yeah, you can talk as much as you want, but you also have to walk the walk, right? And you and your wife, Kim, definitely do that with Changing Your Perspective Foundation. Talk a little bit about that foundation and why and what inspired you to set that up.
What really inspired me to set this foundation up was what happened in the George Floyd incident. After that, George Floyd and the country seemed to be coming, splitting down the middle. I felt the need to really do something, to really try and make a difference. And I saw at that time a gap, a divide between the haves and have-nots in our country. And I saw it getting wider instead of coming closer together. And so that's when I developed a program, the 501c3 called Changing Our Perspective. And it's all about education and health and mental wellness, being able to bring that divide together and provide access and provide tools to schools and individuals to help them really become a part of this country, a vital part of the country.
Thank you very much. You know, that's another reason why I wanted to bring you on, to spread the message of the good work that you and your family are doing with the foundation. And I know, of course, winning the Super Bowl, all that good stuff has a huge impact. And, you know, it probably, you know, bucket list material. It's like, yes, and obviously the Hall of Fame. But the work you're doing, especially right now and in our climate right now, and trying to, like, as parents, we all want to make this world a better place for our kids and our grandkids, et cetera, right? With people like you putting that, you know, work out there and putting the positivity out there and the more communication and helping people in all facets is definitely needed this time. So I really applaud you and I thank you for what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Now we're going to finish off the Fatherhood Quick Five. So I know you got a lot of family members. You got a lot of kids. Maybe we can do it with the grandkids when you have some grandkids time, because I bet trying to get everybody to watch a family movie might be tough. So favorite family movie, like you can kind of steer it towards what the grandkids are watching with you. What is it right now?
Wow. Favorite family movie. I would have to probably say Father of the Bride 2.
Nice.
That may be my favorite family movie.
Love it. Yeah. And was there an artist or a band or you know, a musician that you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age to appreciate it?
Oh, wow. You know what? The artist that I wish I could have introduced my kids to, the first one would be James Brown. Mm. The second one would be Aretha Franklin. Mm. The third would be Elvis Presley. The fourth would be Frank Sinatra. Those to me are some of my favorite musicians.
Nice.
And entertainers, because I really think they were the best of their time.
Love it. Great answers right there. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
A perfect family vacation. We used to go when our kids were young. We used to go up to Green Lake, Wisconsin. And it was on a church ground that was all fenced in. You know, they had, you know, maybe hundreds of acres fenced in, and fishing, camping, and housing there. And we took about 60 people. And those 60 people broke off into maybe five big houses. And different ones cooked at different nights. The kids played all day. Guys played golf or basketball or tennis, whatever they wanted to do. They swam in the lake. You had boating. It was just, and then at night we played games all night. So that was just the fantastic. And we must have done that for maybe 20 years. And it was such a blast to be able to just to get all the kids, all the cousins, all the uncles and aunts together and just let everybody have a blast. That was a great time. So we did that on my wife's family side. And then we went to Houston and we did the same thing with my family, my side of the family. So both times our kids were having a blast going and coming. So it was a great time. And then after that, my wife and I would take our vacation with a couple of friends because we had to recover from that. So that was pretty cool.
That is key right there. You brought that up. Not only did you have family vacations, but again, what you wanted to show with your kids being like, you got to be there for your wife, right? You got to have the vacations where it's just you and your wife, right, to get away. I totally agree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to see an end in sight. When you're on those other vacations, you got to, you know, the kid got hurt themselves, hit the tree. This kid, you got to deal with that. Somebody's going to get sick. So you got to deal with all of that. So finally, my wife and I on a vacation, we're like, woo, wow, that was fun. Man, now it's just you and me. Let's just enjoy the.
You and your wife are like, what's that? Oh, yeah, that's quiet. We can enjoy that, right? Oh, love it.
Absolutely.
Two more questions for the Father Quick Five. Player you like to watch, and I know you probably got a lot, but player right now, like you can just name one of them that you like to watch in NFL is?
Player right now?
Yeah.
Wow. The player that I like to watch right now, I would say there are two of them. Three of them. I like Patrick Mahomes. I like to watch him. You never know what he's going to do. I like the quarterback at Buffalo, the big quarterback at Buffalo, because I think he's an up-and-coming kid. And then I really like the wide receiver / running back for San Francisco. I think
Debo Samuel.
Debo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like him.
Nice. Very cool. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Humble, firm, and fair.
Great three words right there. People, make sure you follow Mike on Twitter at MSingle50Official and go to his foundation, changingourperspective.org, to see the great works that him and his wife and his family are doing. Mike, I know you're a super busy guy, but talking to you not only about football, but obviously the things I really care about, and just like you, about fatherhood, really appreciate that. I wish you and your family continued success.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Thanks for checking out this week's edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. I also want to say a big thank you to this week's sponsor, Change Toothpaste. Not only looking to make the environment better by eliminating a lot of waste when it comes to toothpaste, but they have a lot of great flavors that you and your kids can enjoy. So make sure you support the people who are supporting me here at the Art of Fatherhood by going to changetoothpaste.com for more information on their products and place your order today. And don't forget the discount code Art of Fatherhood to get an additional 15% off your order. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net and please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.